Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Melbourne. We are declaring meeting number 69 on Tuesday, the 3rd of December 2019, open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we gather, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being streamed live, and it is streamed live through the City of Melbourne's website. An audio and a video recording will be made available on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. Whilst we do try to avoid filming members of the public, unfortunately, from time to time, your image may inadvertently be caught on the camera, so please take this as notice that your image may be on the live streaming of this meeting. Thank you. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be made available on the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak to a member of our council business team later this evening. I request at this point if everyone can check their mobile phones to make sure that they are on silent or they're off. That would be terrific. Thank you very much. The agenda this evening comprises five reports from management and two items of general business. Apologies have been received from Councillors Oak and Francis Gilley. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, then that decision can be referred by a councillor to council for decision. We're up to item two, which is disclosures of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a direct or an indirect interest in a matter this evening as defined under the Local Government Act 1989, they should declare the type and nature of that interest prior to consideration of the relevant item. Thank you, councillors. Confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Councillors, I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 68 held on Tuesday, 19 November 2019. Councillor Riley has us underway. Councillor Pinder is seconding. Thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried. Thanks. Councillors, are there any items arising from those minutes that you'd like to discuss at this point? None? Thank you. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, and I'm going to read through those names now, so bear with me as we go through each item. In relation to agenda item 6.1, which is planning permit application TP-2017-931/A 407 to 415 King Street, West Melbourne, we have requests to speak from Kerry Petruni, Liam Reardon from Tract Consultants, and Soya Bart from Ratio Consultants. We also have items of correspondence from Kerry Petruni, Liam Reardon and Soya Bart. In relation to agenda item 6.4, planning permit application TP-2018-429, which is 96 to 102 Franklin Street, Melbourne, we have a request to speak from Andrea Pagliaro from Urbis. We also have an item of correspondence from Rowan Story, Melbourne Heritage Action. In relation to agenda item 6.5, we have, which is Yarra River-Birrarung Strategy. We have requests to speak from John Salisbury, Blue Bottle, Matt Sykes, Chris Leonards, Platform One, Timothy Brackham, Yarra River Business Association, Andrew Raftus, David Goodwin, President, Maritime Law Association of Australia and New Zealand and Director of the Maritime Heritage Network, Andrew Millward Basin from Urban Creative, Tony Penner from the South Bank Residents Association and Alan Temling. We also received items of correspondence from John Salisbury Bluebottle, Matt Sykes, Law Donnelly, Chris Leonards, Timothy Bracker, Andrew Raftus, David Goodwin, Andrew Millward Basin, Felicity Watson, Tony Penner and Alan Temling. In relation to agenda item 7.2, which is notice of motion, Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood, improving Peel, William and Victoria Streets pedestrian safety, we had an item of correspondence from Ray Cowling. Before we go on, was there anybody here this evening that requested to speak and I didn't call your name out? If you could raise your hand now, we could just grab your details. All present and accounted for. Excellent. So just to let all submitters know, and some of you have presented before, but for those who haven't, what we do is as each item comes up, we ask you by name to come up and address the committee. You stand at the podium over there. We turn the microphone on. There's a little button and the red light will go on so that you know that it's on. And what we do is we allow 3 minutes for submissions. And given the number of submitters this evening and presentations, it'd be great if we could keep to the time frame. And to help everyone do that, we have this countdown timer on the wall. It beeps at 2 minutes when 2 minutes have passed to let you know you have 1 minute left. It then beeps again at the end of 3 minutes. And if you could please finalise your presentation at that time, we would appreciate it. And that means we can all be respectful in terms of listening and taking terms to address the committee. So thank you in advance for your cooperation with that. Before we get to our first substantive item, we're going to do public questions. In accordance with our meetings procedures code, we allow 15 minutes at the start of every meeting and 15 minutes at the end of every meeting for the public to be able to ask questions. The point of this part of the meeting is to allow our constituents to come in and ask questions without notice, which is fantastic. But we do ask that they're questions that they don't relate to items on the agenda, because we've already had a chance to ask for submitters that want to present on the items. So questions no longer than 90 seconds in relation to an issue that you're passionate about and interested in. So we're starting our 15 minutes after all those rules and regulations. Is there anybody here this evening that would like to ask a question now? And very welcome. No one? We've got another time at the end of the meeting. So thank you very much. And what we'll do is we're going to move on to reports from management. And I get to call on Councillor Rees, who is the chair of our planning portfolio, to take charge of the meeting. Thank you, Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. There are indeed 5 reports from management this evening for consideration under the planning portfolio. The first of those is agenda item 6.1, which is planning permit application TP 2017 931/A for the property 407 to 415 King Street, West Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on that item? I can see people busily looking at screens and other things, so I'm going to take that as a no, and I will move on and call for Kerry Batruni, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Welcome to Town Hall, Kerry. Just a reminder, please speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank
you. Hello, I'm Kerry Batruni. I represent many of the residents at 23 Batman Street. Our building will be the most impacted by this new building if you grant the permit. We understand the process and that this is just an amendment to a building with a permit that's already been granted. We are asking that you do not grant this amendment. We have submitted our reasons, but the original permit was granted to the developers in spite of strenuous objections, and they sold the property on. The new developers plan to completely change the purpose and nature of the building, if not the footprint and the height. At the end of the day, we believe our councillors represent us. We expect them to do the right thing by Melbourne and us as residents of West Melbourne. The proposed building does not meet the West Melbourne Structure Plan 2018 guidelines. So we're asking you, why would you allow it to go ahead? And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Kerry, thank you for that. I might seek an opportunity for management to respond to some of the points you've made, but I think I'll do that in a consolidated way once we've finished hearing submissions from those who have sought to speak this evening. So I'll now move on and call Ansuya Bart, who requested the opportunity to speak this evening. Are you here, Ansuya? Okay, doesn't look like you are. So I'll now call on Liam Reardon. Welcome to Town Hall, Liam. I remind you, please speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Not a problem. First of all, I'd just like to thank the council staff in relation to their processing of the application thus far. We've had very diligent discussions with the Heritage Consultant, Urban Design Department, and also the planners. Involved in this, we also invited the Strategic Planning Department and also members of the council to come out and inspect our client's property igloo at the Franklin Street address that they already have. And as part of this process as well too, what we did was we held an informal community information session for the interested members of the Batman Street property immediately to our west or south. With respect to that, I'd just like to speak for a moment about my client, Igloo. For those of you that have attended the site, you'll see that they are a high quality provider of student accommodation. And ultimately, when you walk into these facilities, it's not just about sort of heads on beds, it actually is a community. There's very extensive facilities provided within these buildings that ultimately go to a sense of community for the students that are coming from abroad and also locally. And ultimately, they're delivered to the highest of quality. And for those that did come into the site, you will see that it's more akin to what you'd see in a hotel, and that ultimately is the quality of development that will also be delivered under this proposal that's before you tonight. With respect to the existing building, it was only a matter of 12 months or so ago that I stood in front of you. It was a Fender Katsalidis scheme, and ultimately we have Bates Smart designing this building, who are townsmen in terms of their quality and architectural understanding of what's required for this building. The existing building is obviously one of quite significant heritage value, and the new building is a very true modernist response to that modernist base. So looking different to what was previously approved, but nonetheless something which is very respectful. We also note that Halebury College is no longer an objector to this proposal. We've worked through with them on all of the issues that arose in the first two iterations of the applications. And as I said much before, we've sought to try and resolve the issues as best as possible or at least explain the nexus for this application with our neighbours to the west. As I said, we've had a community information session to explain the proposal. There's obviously the application largely stays within the existing footprint of the building as approved. We've also sought to include as much greening along the elevation which interfaces with the 15 to 31 Batman Street property to give a sort of a softening of that building and a presentation of a sharing of amenity between the two properties. And the overlooking is also designed in accordance with the principles set out in the first VCAT order that related to this site. Overall, we say that the proposal is worthy of your support and that ultimately the impacts between the two approvals, both the approval that's already there and then also the one before you, are very similar.
All right, are there any questions for Liam, who's obviously speaking on behalf of the applicant? No. All right, thanks, Liam. Please resume your seat. I want to just go back to the submission we heard from Kerry Petruni, who obviously was one voice tonight, but I do note we did receive 112 objections. That's, you know, a number that certainly gets the attention of councillors. So I want to just reflect on a couple of the points raised by Kerry and maybe call on an officer. I don't know if this is actually the urban design team or statutory planners. The think it's Officer Jane Birmingham's putting her hand up. So, Jane, if you could just please respond, in particular to the point that was made about does this application comply with the West Melbourne Structure Plan? And as part of your answer, please take on board land use and also built form controls.
Thank you, Chair. As has already been made very clear, this is an amendment to an existing permit, so the building envelope has largely been set. This is a change of use application to convert from a hotel to a student accommodation facility. There are very minor changes proposed to the built form, including a parapet increase to cap the building and a slight increase in the lift overrun height. In relation to the West Melbourne Structure Plan, so Amendment C309, that's actually not seriously entertained as a planning policy yet because it's not been adopted by council. And in any event, the building envelope has largely been set by the existing approval. In relation to some aspects of the future controls that may apply to this site, though, it's noted that it prefers a height of around 16 storeys. This is at 17 storeys, but in fact the height remains the same as originally approved, which was 53 metres. So, you know, there's no increase in height overall. Really, the other key changes are to the facade design. We see them as an improvement, and the applicants worked very hard with both the urban design and heritage teams on improving the presentation of the building.
Thanks, Jane. Any questions to Jane arising from the submissions? Or thank you very much. Oh, sorry, we've got a question from Councillor Leppett.
Sorry, Chair, and thanks, Jane. Throughout the delegate's report, there's references to a full-time caretaker or manager of the building. The plans that are provided here, which I know isn't a comprehensive list, it's what we need to make a decision, but it doesn't look as though the manager is live-in. Can you just confirm? I know that there's a condition in there around a management plan that will require full-time staffing. But just for our information, do you know how the applicant proposes to deal with this situation? And if you want me to ask that to Liam, I'm happy to do that as well.
Yeah, through you, Chair, that may be something that could be followed up with the permit applicant. But I understand the operation model is very similar to the way Igloo is run. There's new conditions of permit proposed, that being 43 through to 46, which talk about the management of the premises. And one is that at 46, a manager or caretaker must be present on the site at all times. So that's my understanding of how the property will be managed.
So where the word reside is used, it doesn't necessarily mean that there'll be staff living on. Okay, thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Jane. All right. I'm going to move the recommendation that appears on the screen, and I'm looking for a councillor to second that. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Look, this is one of those challenging applications that comes before council. As I mentioned, you know, it certainly was noticed that we received 112 objections. Personally speaking, as a councillor, I never knew that I had so many friends who had children at Hale Ability College, it seemed, because many of them called me, texted me, wrote to me about it, and also for many of the folks here tonight, I suspect who live down Batman Street, you know, looking through your objections, many of them I have a lot of sympathy with. Would I be happy if I lived next door and had this building going up right next door to me? Yeah, there's aspects of it I would be challenged by as well. Unfortunately, the issue that is before us tonight is not whether or not we're making the planning law. What we're actually doing this evening is applying the planning law. And so the question before us is, does this proposal that is before us comply with the planning laws of Melbourne and Victoria? And the short answer to that question is that yes, it does. This application does have quite a long history to it. The original application came before the council back in 2016, so to the previous council. It was not supported at that time, and the developer took the application to VCAT. VCAT indeed did not support the proposal either, but gave quite detailed and clear direction about what built form would be supported on this site and what use would be supported on this site. Not surprisingly, the developer came back in 2017 putting in a new application which did quite clearly comply with the guidance that had been provided by VCAT, and this council at that point back in 2017 did indeed approve the application. Notably, there was no appeal against that decision by council. Then in 2019, we've had a new application submitted to us. And in terms of that new application, we do see a change in use. So it's going from a residential hotel to student accommodation. We've also had a change in architect. And look, if there's some good news in this, I do think there are some new features to this application which are an improvement on what was there previously. I do think the new design by the architects Bates Smart is superior to the previous application. I think they've been quite respectful of the Yunkin Freeman building, which is at the base. That's a 1955 building, which is extraordinary. It still looks very contemporary to this day. It's held up very well. And I think Bates Smart have responded in an appropriate and very sensitive way to that. And the design of the new tower, I think, is superior to what was there previously. I also note that the proposal has come down in height quite significantly from 63 metres to 53 metres. I personally think that's a good step. I do note with interest that this application does include, is for a new use on the site, student accommodation. You know, there is a lot of, look, on that point, Igloo, I think I need to say, is a tier one student accommodation provider. I think a lot of work has been done with the City of Melbourne here to get the internal design of this building right. And I do think that, you know, if this proceeds as student accommodation, then it will be a very, very, how can I put this, high-level student accommodation. But I've got to note that there is a lot of student accommodation applications that have come before the city in recent times. You know, from 2011 through 6 years to 2017, so over 6 years, we had 2,000 student beds built in this town. Then in 2018, we had 3,500 student beds built. We've currently got almost 5,000 student beds that are currently under construction, and this council has approved a further 5,350. So there is a lot of student accommodation that is either being built, is currently being built, or has been approved to be built. And yeah, I express my surprise that that is what is being chosen for this particular site. I do stress again, though, that I do stress Igloo are very good student accommodation providers, top tier, and the Bates Smart design is excellent in my view, but I am surprised that we are seeing before us another student accommodation application. On that note, I might hand over to Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair. You've been comprehensive with the history, and I agree. We've had a lot of people write to us requesting that we not approve something of this bulk and scale, but as you've said, our hands are tied on that front because VCAT has approved a building envelope, and we shouldn't be in the business of refusing something that we know if it goes straight to VCAT we'll just be wasting the funds of ratepayers knowing what the outcome there would be. That building envelope really has been prosecuted in the past multiple times, and at the 53 metre mark, although this now has a slightly larger overrun with the lift, that overall building envelope has been prosecuted. There's tweaks to the setbacks in the upper levels, but by and large, this is the same building envelope as has already been approved. So essentially, this is a change of use application, and it's something that should be supported given the way our planning scheme works in that area. But we have been written to by a lot of people who would like us to re-prosecute the application from scratch. It's just not something that we can do. There is a 40 metre discretionary height limit in the area, but when a former planning minister puts in place a 67 metre building, including a building that I think a dozen or so people in the room reside in, which will be immediately impacted by this building, then that is the standard that's set, and that's the standard that had been worked backwards from when the current application was approved last year, or in 2017, I think it was actually last year. And so that is one of the many reasons why we have a West Melbourne structure plan, so that we can prosecute better built form controls, more predictable, clearer built form controls that are much more transparent and accountable for all the users of the planning scheme, existing residents and potential new residents as well. But we're not there yet. We don't have new built form controls for West Melbourne, so we need to apply the scheme as we have it, and we need to apply equitable development based on the VCAT decisions already made, and on that basis it is actually a very simple decision, even though it's going to disappoint a lot of people, but we should support it.
Thanks, Councillor Leppard. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion and recommendation on the screen? Councillor Watts.
I may have missed my opportunity, but it seems to me, given the change in use and given the statistics my colleagues just quoted around the potential glut in student accommodation, one would hope in such a plan that there would be flexibility in the way in which the building is built so that it can be adapted to create a different form of accommodation at some point. I don't know whether this is the case in this building or whether the presenter from the design, the architect could speak of that, but for me, I would seek reassurance that that might be possible, that the building can be adapted to a different use, for example, apartments at some point.
Thank you for that, Councillor Watts. I'm happy to undertake to seek that assurance after this evening. So I note that. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion before us? Lord Mayor.
Really to concur and to say I'm going to support the motion. I acknowledge the history and the fact that the structure and what can be built within that envelope has already been decided. As Kerry said, this is really about a change in the purpose and nature, and being a university city, providing good student accommodation, which is what Igloo has done previously and what it looks like they're planning to do this time, is really important in terms of the experience and accommodation that we can provide for international students. And for the numbers that you said earlier, Councillor Rees, there's a similar sort of statement, a similar set of numbers in relation to hotel accommodation, and so that balance is always something for us to consider, but nonetheless having tier one student accommodation is a priority for the city. So for that reason, and noting that really what we're talking about today is purpose and nature of use, I'm going to be supporting the motion.
Any other speakers? Councillor Riley.
Thank you. Look, for years we've been advocating that we wanted better student accommodation in our city, and when this comes along and it ticks all the boxes, I think it's absolutely perfect for students. And yes, the demand is there and will continue to be there as our city grows. So yes, I will be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Any other speakers for or against the motion? In that case, I'll put the matter to the vote. All those in support, please raise your hand. I declare that carried unanimously. All right, the next agenda item before us is 6.2, Planning Application TP 2019-97. It's for the property 103 Hotham Street in East Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? I'm taking that as a no. And then I now move the motion. I might just pause for 30 seconds just to allow those in the gallery who no longer wish to sit through the other exciting four planning items we've got to stick around. Or I'll press on. I'll now move the motion which is appearing there on the screen. I look to a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I will speak to this matter briefly. This is another one of those applications that, because it requires alterations to a, I think, Heritage B-graded building, is therefore required to come before us. I note that there has been no objections to what is proposed here. It's actually quite a good job that has been done here in terms of a renovation for this property in Hotham Street. It maintains the primary heritage asset, the front two rooms of the building. What you see from the street is unchanged by what's being proposed here, and it's a very sympathetic renovation at the back, which has been very well designed. Councillor Leppett.
I agree.
Are there any other speakers for and against it? Deputy Lord Mayor, do you have some thoughts to share on this one? If there's no other speakers for and against this, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. All right, I suspect we may hear from the Deputy Lord Mayor on this next one. 6.3, planning permit application, TP 2019-619 for the property 67 to 121 Kensington Road, also known as JJ Holland Park. Would councillors like a presentation in relation to this matter? No? Okay. Well, I am very happy to move the motion appearing there on the screen. I look to a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I will speak briefly to this matter. Item is requires a planning permit because it is on land that is subject to inundation. So council policy requires a planning permit. And it comes before FMC this evening because it is, of course, a proposal where the council itself is the applicant. In short, there are no issues with this playground proposal being on a site where it is possibly subject to inundation. In fact, I'd put it to you that this is the ideal sort of use that you would have for land like this. I'm very pleased to report that the community consultation exercise that has gone on around what the council is proposing for this new playground has been very, very supportive. And that's not surprising because what's being proposed is absolutely amazing. You know, what's not to like about new sand and water play, a flying fox, rope nets, shaded area, even a dog tie-up space nearby? I can tell you, the kids of Kensington and their parents are absolutely going to love this proposal. And we have set the bar pretty high with what we did on Gatehouse Drive. I know the Deputy Lord Rare remembers that one very well. I think we went possibly even better again with Princess Park, and I cannot wait to see the wrappers taken off what is going to be an amazing playground there in Kensington. Councillor Leppett.
Nothing to add.
Deputy Lord Mayor, come on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I feel like it's going to be difficult to match your enthusiasm on this one, but this is excellent to see this coming along. I'll just make the comment that the consultation has been extremely favourable for what is going to be a renewal of a much-loved asset already. And indeed, as the Chair highlighted, the work that we did with the return to Royal Park, the adventure and nature-based play that we have there has been winner of so many awards worldwide, and rightly so. So I can safely vouch for the fact that the community is looking forward to this one well and truly. And indeed, it's not just much loved by the whole Kensington community, in particular with some of the low-cost housing that abuts the park area, that this is literally their backyard. So this is going to be a great asset to be renewed and look forward to its implementation.
Terrific. Councillor Pindar.
Just very briefly, as a city for all people, I think this is a real winner in respect of the play elements and the activities and the doggies as well. So well done to the team. Brilliant work.
Thank you, Councillor Pindar. Are there any other speakers for or against this motion? Lord Mayor.
bags first on the Flying Fox.
Any other speakers for or against it? We're going to be holding you to that one, Lord Mayor, seeing you on the Flying Fox there. We've got witnesses to that. Any other speakers for or against? All right, well, I'll put this matter to the vote. All those in favour to an award-winning new playground in Kensington and JJ Holland Park? Passed unanimously. Terrific. All right, next item is agenda item 6.4, planning permit application TP 2018-429. It's for the property 96 to 102 Franklin Street, Melbourne. Would councils like a presentation in relation to this item? Taking that as a no, so I now call on Andrea Pagliaro, who has requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Andrea, you are familiar... Andrea, I know you are familiar with practice and procedure in this place. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, councillors, for this evening. The name gets everyone. And thank the Italian Heritage for that. Thank you for the opportunity to present this evening. I've been involved in the application for a very long time, actually pre-C270 days, so it is some time ago. It's fair to say we've come a long way since then in terms of the design and the building. We've changed the project architect and amended the design significantly to be compliant with the current planning scheme and the current expectations for development within the central city. We've worked closely with officers over the last year following the revision to the application, just to address outstanding issues, deal with design matters and get it to a point where your officers can support the recommendation tonight, and we support that recommendation that they've put forward. We say the proposal sympathetically responds to the heritage significance of the site by proposing a modest contemporary design that will not dominate the host building and will be an appropriate insertion to the Franklin Street streetscape and the broader Queen Vic area or Queen Vic Market area at the northern end of the city. The design's been broken up into the three components, which is contained in the officer's report. We've really got the podium element that sits behind the heritage building and contains basement parking and commercial tenancies running through those lower levels. A lower tower form that is sort of nestled behind the heritage building and at a 12-metre setback from the facade. And then the upper tower, which sort of comes forward from 9 to 9.5 metres or 9.4 metres to finalise that building and that presentation to the street. We say it's an appropriate response, balancing the competing objectives in the city of growth and preservation at the same time. The building forms and setbacks contemplate the equitable development opportunities of adjacent and adjoining properties, and propose a true mix of uses throughout the building, incorporating retail, office, and residential. The apartments will provide excellent amenity in terms of cross-ventilation, daylight to windows, compliance with BADs, and again, the expectations that we're after, or the city's after in this day and age. Burbank's been committed to this collaborative process with your officers, and we're proud of the building that's before you tonight and the contribution that it will make to the revitalisation of this part of the city. Once again, thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight, and we request that you support the recommendation of your professional staff. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Any questions for our presenter? No, thank you very much for that. If there are no other speakers to this item, which there isn't, then I am happy to move the motion which is appearing up on the screen there, looking for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I will speak briefly to this matter. Our submitter was right. This one has been in the system for a long, long time. It's had more installations than installments, I should say, than the Star Wars series, I would think. And I'm pleased to report that I think the dark side has finally been overwhelmed, and here we are, Return of the Jedi. We've got to a pretty good outcome. Just to give you a sense of the scale of the changes that have happened on the journey on this one. I mean, this was a proposal that started at 176 metres. It's now down to 79 metres. So we've had 100 metres taken off the top. It was a 58-storey building, proposed it's now 22 storeys, was going to be 28,600 square metres, now 14,861, and possibly the most significant of all, originally we were talking about a maximum floor area ratio of 27.6 to 1, like talk about maxing it out, to now 13.31, which is well within C270 and DDO 10. Also terrific to see that it's now got a mix of office and residential, quite a substantial amount of office actually, and residential. And I think what's happening with the ground plane, with the cafe, is really very, very positive as well. I think Peddlethorpe have done a very good job in building in a heritage environment here. There's a clear break between the Keep Brothers and Wood Workshop and Showroom and the tower above. It's quite legible. It's been done very well. I'm also very pleased to report that almost all of that Keep Brothers and Wood building has been retained, or at least 13 metres of the 15 metres of that building. The setbacks and built form, as I've said, are C270 and DDO 10 compliant. So overall, I think it's a very good proposal. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Chair. It is, I agree. And I also want to thank our delegate for a very comprehensive and logical report. The heritage demolition extent is large, even though we are retaining 12 metres or 13 metres of the B-graded building. But the reasons for support put forward by our heritage advisor and in the assessment, plus, of course, my own site visit this morning on the way to Town Hall, suggests that even though there is quite a lot of loss of heritage buildings, we're not losing anything that's legible and important from the public realm. We're going to retain much more than just a facade. We're going to retain a building with a lot of dignity, and I think that the proposal will complement the heritage building well. So I support this, and yes, it's an interesting history, but hopefully this is the application that not only will be supported but will be delivered on.
Any other speakers for or against the motion before us? Deputy Lord Mayor.
I agree with both the Chair and Councillor Leppett. I think this is an excellent outcome. It's been a long time in coming, and probably a note to all of our applicants that complying with the planning scheme is a fantastic place to start. But I do want to say the treatment in particular of the heritage building is a really great outcome, and it just shows that heritage retention doesn't necessarily mean that you can't get a fantastic outcome, an even better outcome than some of those earlier proposals that were before us. So well done to the applicant on this excellent adjustment, and I'm very happy to support.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Pinder.
Firing all cylinders tonight. I just want to say that Burbank Homes has been around since, I think it was 1983 when I first did some work for them in PR, and I think this building really does show their rich attention to detail and capability in respect of dealing with councils. A great move to have Peddlethorpe as the architectural firm. I think the outcome is a superb one, so well done.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Lord Mayor.
Just because we're all picking out different features of this project, I concur, and just noting that we are trying to encourage more mixed use in our buildings, and as you pointed out, the balance between commercial and residential I think is a really great outcome, and well done for making that work on this site.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Watts.
I acknowledge it's a very good design, and I think it actually says that finally in the City of Melbourne the true value of heritage preservation is being recognised by major mainstream architects. Heritage assets have economic value in the long term, and we haven't retained much of it, but from the street this will maintain our image as a city which values its heritage.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers for or against? In that case, I will put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare that carried unanimously. All righty. The next agenda item is 6.5, Yarra River Birrarung Strategy. Would councillors like a presentation on... Okay, I'm actually seeing some nods here and I think there are some questions. So I will invite Margie McKay to please make her way to the lectern. Team leader, Urban Design and Design Review. Please, a brief presentation has been requested and there are some questions.
Good evening, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and councillors. The strategy before you tonight defines Council's vision and direction for the Yarra River Birrarung. It recognises the significant role the river plays in our identity as a city, as a key destination, culturally significant place, and major environmental asset. The strategy provides an advocacy tool and high-level framework to guide current and future projects. The draft strategy was endorsed in April for engagement. An engagement report summarising this was released in September and used to inform the strategy. The engagement period lasted for 3 months to allow adequate time for input. Many engagement methods were used to encourage participation, as well as the usual online surveys and ideas forum online. Pop-ups were held along the river. We also met with many key stakeholders face-to-face. We also presented at meetings, including the South Bank Residents June Committee meeting, and great to see that they're here tonight. The Yarra River Business Association also held an ideas forum in August, which was wonderful in the Town Hall, and we had strong, varied representation at that. Great to see them here tonight as well. The draft strategy had significant interest and high-level support for the strategic directions, and detailed feedback has been incorporated into the final strategy. So just to talk through some of the key changes, a key change in response to feedback was changing the title of the document to the Yarra River Birrarung Strategy to acknowledge both the current and the traditional, all three traditional owner groups' name for the river. There's greater focus on Melbourne's significant maritime heritage and the opportunity this presents for creative interpretation to enrich the visitor experience. A detailed study on riparian planting opportunities was used to further refine the ecology section, and activation plan and guiding principles provide greater activation, direction on activation, and expectation on the quality and location of activities along the river. An implementation plan has also been included to guide the delivery of the strategy. So the vision is for an inspiring public waterfront that celebrates the rich Aboriginal history and offers a green sanctuary. The vision has also been supported by illustrations that assist in visualising the potential of this exciting future of the river. Highlights and strategic directions, policies and actions fall under four key themes. Under ecology, we want to restore the health of the water and landscape by enhancing the ecological values and encouraging a nature corridor as a key point of difference from the city. Under culture, we wish to improve the visibility of the Aboriginal and maritime history and promote greater collaboration with the traditional owner groups to understand the rich values and stories. We're also keen to provide a place of rich diversity and activities where new businesses and economies can flourish and support rich, memorable river experiences. Under movement, we wish to improve connectivity, create a destination and place to enjoy a slow pace in contrast to the intensity of the city. We know that successful delivery of this strategy will need to be implemented through coordination and funding across a large number of stakeholders. The strategy provides this basis for working with the state government, key landowners, and other key stakeholders on the initiatives. Policies and actions include research, engagement, design, and delivery on projects. If endorsed tonight, we really look forward to working to bring the strategy to life through the actions and policy and support the next stage of the evolution of the Yarra River Breorung. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Are there any questions for Margie? Councillor Pinder?
Margie, I know I'm very late on all of this, but I just wondered, we've considered the Aboriginal history, we've considered cyclists, we've considered pedestrians, but how much thought have we really given to accessibility? We refer to universal accessibility, but I'm just concerned that that, you know, accessibility for all people, wheelchairs, cognitive impairment, the whole gamut, will get lost in this advocacy with the state government. Can you assure me that that will be
so
high on the list?
So there is one of the 13 strategic directions specifically focuses on accessibility, and that has policies and actions under it. We do recognise that there are some areas of the river that need improvement in this area, and that is why that's a key strategic direction of the strategy.
So, for example, today I took a walk while Brian McNichol pushed on his wheelchair from Town Hall to the River Walk for International Disability Day. Mm-hmm. And I thought then another lift at this end would have been really practicable. So, I mean, where would something like that fit into to enable people to have greater access?
The strategy is a high-level strategy, so it doesn't go into the specifics of particular lifts and so on, but that is the kind of outcome that we imagine could come from the strategy, improved access, such as lifts and so forth.
Okay, all right.
Any further questions for Margie? No, thank you very much for that presentation. I now call on John Salisbury from Blue Bottle, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Welcome to Town Hall. John, please speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'll start by introducing myself. I'm Phil Greenup. I'm working with John Salisbury, who's sitting over there. I am a lighting designer from Arup, and we're working together with John and a few others, which I'll talk about shortly. Thank you for the opportunity, and good evening, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to present this evening. And thank you also for the creation of the Yarra River Birrarung Plan strategy. We are very enthusiastic about it. We are keen to see it happen. We are wanting to be involved and to help accelerate the change that is required for our great city. So we are a group of Melbourne-based creatives. We are passionate about keeping Melbourne at the forefront of international conversations around livability. And we are enthusiastic about using light as a medium to assist acceleration of the plan, acceleration of activation of the river precinct. We acknowledge that it is an ambitious and complex piece of work to achieve, and that it will take a holistic vision to achieve. So we have, from a lighting perspective, brought together a team of like-minded creatives from the disciplines of lighting design, myself, architecture, Chris, who's over there, lighting technology, John, who's over there, and also art in the public realm, to bring light to the bridges to activate this. We're proposing to use light as a medium to enhance the strategy, responding to the key themes within the strategy of culture, ecology, place, and movement. For instance, engaging with the Aboriginal artists and their cultural narrative, respecting and responding to, okay, can't see that properly, there we go, can. Respecting and responding to the ecology and habitats along the river. Using light in the creation of place in placemaking to create new visas, to create new standing and waiting points and viewing points. And also using light as an integral tool of intuitive wayfinding, helping people move around the precinct. This is primarily for the benefit of the community, the Melbourne community, and for visitors to the city. and we use this to engage, to increase nighttime engagement, to increase involvement. People being outside at night, their feeling of sensitive safety with more people around, and impacts on the nighttime economy, including tourism. The lighting will be changeable and programmable, and we've already had engagement and support from Melbourne Festival, to be involved in this. We would implement this in a twofold plan. Firstly, at a master plan level, bringing together our holistic team to develop a long-term strategy for lighting the bridges and how this works with the Birrarung Yarra River strategy. And secondly, at a later stage, the detailed design, engaging with local artists, local businesses, local designers, to implement the strategy for each of the individual river bridges, river crossings. We are keen to be involved. We are keen to engage with the council involved in this and to help integrate the strategy. Thank you very much.
Thank you for a fascinating presentation. Any questions? Councillor Leilu?
I was walking past South Bank last night, and I note that there is already lighting. Is that you guys already up there?
No, there's been implemented over the years. It's by various parties.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. I now call on Matt. Councillor Watts has got a question as well.
I applaud your efforts. It's terrific stuff.
Thank you.
Are you having trouble with the multiple responsible authorities that you might have?
We are not as yet, but I can see that would be an issue. Yes.
There are allies in the community that we could perhaps connect you with.
That's great. Thank you.
I hope you're hearing a lot of support from councillors tonight. I now call on Matt Sykes, who requested the opportunity to speak to us. Welcome to Town Hall, Matt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and councillors. I'd like to acknowledge the people of the Kulin Nation, elders past, present and emerging. Over the last 18 months, I was supported through the Victorian Tourism Industry Council and Peninsula Hot Springs to put forward a blueprint for a Victorian hot springs and bathing tourism strategy. When I had the opportunity to look at the Yarra River and Birrarung strategy, in my professional opinion, I saw a gap in the emphasis on community wellbeing and particularly mindful of the significant issues around mental health for our community. Through the research, it created the opportunity for me to travel to a number of really amazing international cities, including through the Nordic region in Oslo, where they have a whole series of floating saunas. So you imagine that you're out on the Yarra River and you're after work, you're out in a floating sauna and then the city's right in front of you. In Copenhagen, you have a string of harbour bars that dot their river. And also in Helsinki, you have a floating pool as well as a really amazing sauna facility. In China, I travelled into Guangdong and saw one particular project by a landscape architect called Kong Jan Yu of Turinscape, where they rehabilitated an old former shipyard post-industrial site, and you now have locals fishing in that area. They were also involved with the restoration of the Huangpu River as part of the Shanghai Expo. Most recently, I travelled to New York City to meet a team called Plus Pool, and they've put forward a proposal for a floating filtering swimming pool in the East River, where literally the water is coming through this structure. So if you imagine two 50-metre swimming pools crossed over each other, the water is coming through, it's filtering on the way in as well as on the way out. So through this process, I put forward a vision for a Great Victorian Bathing Trail. Now, that links up with hot springs, sea bars around Port Phillip Bay, but also the potential for bathing facilities along the Yarra River. Now, mindful of the United Nations decade of ecosystem restoration coming up from 2021 to 2030, I think bold projects like the Yarra Pools are things that we really should be embracing and going after. So in that light, the swimmability of Birrarung should certainly be one of the key drivers for, you know, the future development of a world-class, wellness-focused and nature-based river for our city. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Matt. I now call on Chris Leonards from Platform One to speak for us. Oh, you're here, but you don't wish to speak. That's totally fine, Chris. All right, and now call on Timothy Brasher from the Yarra River Business Association. Welcome back to Town Hall. Timothy, you're reminded to speak for no more than three minutes.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillors, the Yarra River Business Association, which represents 160 businesses of the Lower Yarra River, wishes to commend and applaud the initiative to produce this strategy. It represents much insightful work and a huge amount of consultation, including the outcomes of the Yarra River Big Ideas Forum on August the 15th this year, where 45 organisations and businesses were represented to share their vision for the waterway. From that forum, we have also developed the Yarra River Association's Vision 21 document, which now sits rather synergistically alongside the strategy of tonight. If I may leave copies of our documents so councillors and officers can study it. This strategy is a great start to realising the environmental, social and economic potential of the Lower Yarra. However, as insightful and visionary as it is, the dreams for the long maligned and neglected north bank of the river will never be realised until coordination and cohesiveness among the various state government agencies and departments in league with council takes place. The fragmentation of the north bank has been the key reason why nothing has happened there, while south bank has forged ahead. Might I suggest the inclusion of one other key action in the strategy, that being the formation of a Yarra River North Bank Action Committee, which embraces council, relevant government departments, and the Yarra River Business Association. North Bank has the potential to be the absolute jewel of central Melbourne, where urban meets nature, and where city workers and visitors can seamlessly flow down to a more relaxed, democratic environment to chill out from our increasingly frenetic city. And there are some low-hanging fruit projects that we could collectively start on right now. Banana Alley, which is an historic gem of an location, but currently an eyesore. Let's start by simply banning cars from the riverbank here, fixing the broken pavement and opening this wonderful area up to the river. Rebecca Walk, 12 years ago, the newly installed vaults in Batman Park were offered by the Far East Consortium to the City of Melbourne to manage, but they were knocked back. They have since failed as retail outlets and are now becoming an eyesore. What about council taking up the offer, which is still open, and use them to provide low-cost studio housing for Melbourne's array of start-up creatives? Vancouver has been doing just this since the 1970s on a former industrial site, Granville Island, which now happens to be that city's top tourist attraction. That's what we could do in Batman Park. Thirdly, high-quality visual standards for the public realm on North Bank so that it develops in a contiguous way and links through to Docklands. Yes, individual locations will need to be tackled, but we need to have everything happen according to a commonly agreed high-quality destination legibility. Just in conclusion, what could it look like in 10 years' time? It could look like Vancouver's North City waterfront, a beautiful, seamless transition into 20 kilometres of riverfront walks around Stanley Park to English Park.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim. That was a terrific presentation. I now call on Andrew Raftus to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Welcome to Town Hall. Andrew.
Good evening, Lord Mayor, councillors, committee members. I'm on the board of the Melbourne Maritime Heritage Network, and in the interest of disclosure, I say that I'm also on the Governance, Audit and Risk Committee for the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation. However, I'm not representing them tonight, just the Melbourne Maritime Heritage Network. We applaud the plan and we're very pleased to see that the maritime heritage is being recognised, but we think that there's a few key elements that could also be hopefully added to the capital works, and we'd like to expand on what's been done. We think that not only the Aboriginal heritage, but also there should be a celebration of the maritime post-settlement achievements in Melbourne and the contribution to the prosperity of the city. So shipping has been an integral component to our development, and there's a reason why the large insurance companies and banks were located down near the Turning Basin on the Yarra. We also had a very large shipbuilding and stevedoring industry in Melbourne, and that's been an important part of our history, still recognised through some of the relics there, like the old Wartime Workers' Hotel and Mission to Seafarers. We'd also like to see a bit more of a whole-of-city approach. This has been partly covered already by previous speakers, but we think that the Yarra estuary should be given more recognition. I don't see that actually named in the document. Other parties look at this, other agencies, and so to note that would be useful. And we also think that the Port of Melbourne lands should be included. We note that there's the leasehold arrangements which cause some constraints, but I would have thought that the City Council could use moral suasion and certainly some terms of the lease to be able to get them to cooperate with the full development of the area. Finally, I'd like to stress a little more on the bridges. I loved the presentation before, which used those in terms from an artistic perspective. And I think that given the aspirations to develop Melbourne as outlined in the document and also various media releases that have been made, you can consider the architectural, artistic, retail and cultural elements. You know, the Charles Bridge in Prague has got the statues lining that bridge. We could do something similar in Melbourne potentially. The Rialto is lined with retail shops and restaurants and things like that. On a smaller scale, you've got the small Pulteney Bridge in Bath with the light shining beautifully over the water. I can see already that we're starting to develop restaurants on some of the bridges. However, in the document at the moment, it appears the bridges are more recognised from the point of view of overpasses or underpasses. They're the main points I'd like to make. Thank you for your time. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Another excellent presentation. I now call on David Goodwin from the Maritime Law Association of Australia and New Zealand and Maritime Heritage Network to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Welcome, David.
Thank you. So I'm on the Melbourne Maritime Heritage Network board along with Andrew, so this may be somewhat repetitive, but as mentioned, also speak for the Maritime Law Association. As a result, I guess I'm heavily connected into the commercial maritime sector in Melbourne, and we seek to bring, as Andrew really echoed, that perspective also to these developments. There have been successive drafts of this document, and we've been vigilant to keep an eye on several key issues that are of importance to our members and constituents, and I'll mention here three. I guess I'll start by saying the proposed marking of the Indigenous history of the Birrarung is extremely important, and there's quite a very pronounced emphasis on that in the early part of the plan. That just needs to be balanced with recognition of the importance of the commercial maritime heritage. And the idea of a maritime museum for Melbourne, or perhaps a heritage trail at multi-sites, needs to come to bear. Secondly, we're very concerned about the state of the North Bank, which has been talked about here this evening, and in particular the area between the Sandridge Bridge and Spencer Street. And thirdly, the bridges, the condition and the state of the bridges across the river. When I registered to speak this morning, I made some comments online really saying that these three issues were perhaps insufficiently addressed in the draft, but I recognise now, having looked again at the document in detail today, that great progress has been made on each of those issues, and I commend the Council for that. There's been very strong focus on those three sets of issues. So I'd like to reframe my comments to commend the Council. But I think the comments made around the commercial maritime history are still quite vague, and they need to be fleshed out. On the North Bank, a plan does seem to be emerging, although it's still not fully defined. And if we look at the visual imagery that was shown during the first presentation, it seems to be taking the area back to perhaps its original condition, rather than which would involve things like removing the turning basin at great expense. So the balancing of these various factors needs to be very carefully considered. And on the bridges, the comment I was going to make was that the plan is still very light on in that area, but perhaps with the metaphor of a light, I really enjoyed the presentation earlier, and I'd urge those suggestions to be taken on board. So can I urge everyone to continue to be vigilant, to not only plan for the future actions in these areas, but to activate concrete actions soon.
Thank you very much, David. I now call on Andrew Millwood Basin from Urban Creative. I hope I've got the pronunciation correct, Andrew, and invite you to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, councillors and officers of City of Melbourne. I'm here representing the North Bank Precinct group. We made submission into the drafting of the strategy along the way. We've had really good engagement with the team at council. And we also think that the work done on the strategy is excellent. We're here really to, I guess, perhaps clarify some opportunities that might exist in a particular precinct, which is to the west of Spencer Street, south of Flinders Street, to the river, and between Roondree. So this wedge-shaped site here. It's picked up in the strategy already, but we think there are some opportunities that are significant for the city that could have some more focus brought to them. So to contextualise that, I guess you could place that block, and in particular Seafarers Rest, the 3,500 square metre future civic space, as a link in a chain of spaces along the river, and I'm sure the strategy already looks at it largely in a way like that. But to drill down on that precinct, we have here the precinct zoomed in on, and there are some significant developments recently and ongoing which change the scope of opportunities for us as a city. Starting with the east end of Sidley Street's been opened up with the demolition of the World Trade Centre, and where there was a tunnel, there is now a really good visual connection to Batman Park. We have Seafarers Rest being built soon, and with it, the activation of Seafarers Development beside it. Again, a 3,500 square metre civic space on river at the head of Seafarers Bridge, which changes the opportunity set at the western end of this precinct. And to the north, we have Melbourne Quarter, currently under construction, and it's arranged around a 250 metre long pedestrian spine running north-south from Southern Cross Station down to the Flinders Street. And so these opportunities that I'm alluding to, I think they fall into just three basic categories, and they're all captured on this diagram. We could create a east-west green spine in Sidley Street, linking Batman Park with Seafarers Rest. We could drive the north-south pedestrian spine in Melbourne Quarter through to the river via a network of laneways and arcade. And we could make a more robust connection between the Docklands and its river corridor, which is something the city has really been calling for. And this wedge-shaped site offers a huge opportunity in that. It has already got the makings of a tree-lined boulevard. It's currently service-dominated, but that doesn't have to stay the case. This is an extract from the strategy, and it captures some of the aspiration of North Bank. And really all we're here to say is we could enhance that story. Sorry, it's a bit cheeky that we modified the document, Margie. Sorry about that. But with multiple distributed network into the Docklands, not only Melbourne Quarter, but Collins Square and Docklands Park, not just via Jim Stein's Bridge, but a robust distributed network. And we can bring the Docklands to the river corridor, which is really, really important for our city. And we welcome engagement going forward with the team behind the strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Another excellent presentation. I've long thought Sidley Street is an underappreciated opportunity for Melbourne. Next up is Tony Penner from the South Bank. Oh, from Urban Creative. Is that right? No, so I've got an, it must be a typo. So, the South Bank Residents Association. Apologies, Tony. Welcome back to Town Hall. You know the rules.
Thank you, councillors. Well, I don't have a presentation anywhere near as great as the presentations we've just had. But look, South Bank Residents Association supports this strategy with great enthusiasm. The Yarra River is a defining part of South Bank. It plays an integral role with its connection to the residents. Yet the river and what it offers has often been an overlooked asset that has always had so much potential. We acknowledge that Council has acknowledged that. We are delighted that this strategy, the river might finally get the attention that it deserves. The only criticism that we have for the plan is we felt that communication and consultation could have been better. The council officers mentioned that there was consultation with the South Bank Residents Association, merely meeting us at a meeting and a presentation is not what we would call consultation, especially in contrast to previous strategies and previous plans that we've had come to us. C3A is a classic where consultation was just continuous, it was ongoing, they kept engaging with us. Domain Parklands would be another really good example where we were hearing from that team almost every week about what's happening and can you please reach out to your network and engage them with us. Unfortunately, after our committee meeting with that presentation, we heard nothing from the team post that. We read the document, we find all these events that they held to engage the public, to get their opinions on the boulevard, etc. It would have been nice if they reached out to us and said, hey, we are doing this, we would like you to be a part of it as well, and we would like you to reach out to your network because we would like to hear from them. Sadly, with this strategy, none of that happened. And so we're not really feeling the love, I suppose you could say. We feel that we could have contributed a whole lot more to the final document. And it was very fortunate that the Yarra River Business Association held their big ideas forum for the river. That was certainly not part of the plan in the original draft strategy. In fact, we didn't even know the draft strategy was coming to FMC. It took everyone by surprise. Unlike those other strategies that I've mentioned, we were given 2 or 3, maybe even 4 weeks notice that this strategy will be coming to FNC on this date, giving you a heads up because we'd love to hear from you. Sadly, it didn't happen here. I'm very, very happy to see that the River Forum is part of the strategy because it was a very, very important part of the inspiration of the river, and I'm glad that that's taking a part into the final strategy as well.
All right, thank you very much, Tony. Disappointed to hear your feedback about the consultation process, but pleased that you like the substance of the document. Next call on Alan Temling to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Alan, are you here? No. All right. Well, that concludes our submitters who sought to speak this evening, and we should now be having a recommendation up on the screen. I'm happy to move the motion, looking for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Firstly, let me start by saying thank you for all those tremendous presentations we got this evening. They're really, really of a very high calibre, and lots of great ideas there for us to take forward, whether that's around lighting of the Yarra, the Great Victorian Bathing Trail, the improvements around Banana Alley and the vaults. I think we'll hear more about that in discussion this evening. Maritime heritage, I am certain we're going to hear more about that from councillors. The condition of the bridges, some great ideas around Sidley Street and green connections through that corner of the Yarra, and also for how we can improve our consultations going forward. All absolutely excellent ideas and suggestions there. I guess I would respond in bulk by saying that this strategy that we're releasing this evening is very much a high-level document, and it has been established as a framework that we intend to fill out going forward. So this is very much the beginning, not the final word on the Yarra strategy. So yes, really, really looking forward to working with all our submitters to bring those great ideas to life. In terms of the strategy, can I make the obvious point that this didn't come before us by magic. It came before us this evening as a result of a lot of hard work. So I want to single out Margie McKay, Kate Dundas, Emma Appleton and many others in helping to produce what I think is an absolutely visionary bit of public policy and planning for our city. And of course the Yarra deserves nothing less. It is an iconic bit of nature. It holds so many stories for the people of Melbourne, whether it's Indigenous Melburnians, those who came here for more recent European settlement, the stories of the Gold Rush, modern-day Moomba, and those of us who walk, ride or travel alongside it every day and enjoy that natural environs. I think we all agree that Melbourne has not made enough of the Yarra Birrarung, and so tonight we're really drawing a line in the sand and saying going forward we've got a plan and we really want to elevate the importance of our river to our town. I'm sure a number of councillors tonight are going to single out some aspects of the river strategy that means a lot to them. For me, I want to really highlight the plan as far as it relates to North Bank. I agree that this is a part of the river where we really, really do need to see some significant change and we need to get on and make it happen. I'm particularly pleased to see in this strategy many of the most interesting ecological ideas centre along the North Bank, and I think that's going to be really exciting in terms of making changes so we can celebrate that green and blue corridor of our city. I also think on the South Bank side, we are going to see some very significant changes happening along South Bank Promenade. We know that because there are a number of applications that are in pre-app before the city, and there is no doubt that those proposals will be game changers for the Yarra. So tonight I want to make it very clear to those proponents of those new proposals along South Bank that they must be of the absolute highest standards in terms of urban design, in terms of architectural quality, in terms of that postcard view of Melbourne that we see when we look from Princess Bridge down the river. Those new developments must be absolutely world class. I'm also particularly excited by the proposal that go to a new connection between Birrarung Mar and the Domain Parklands. I think that's particularly exciting, and I also am personally excited about proposals around Sandridge Bridge and particularly the railway tracks on the western side of that bridge. That is a huge opportunity to create new public space for our city. That could be such a creative and fantastic space for people in Melbourne to gather. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair. Very comprehensive. So I have very little to add. I just wanted to acknowledge the changes made from the draft to the final version that we're considering tonight. The efforts made to talk to stakeholder groups, to locals, was extensive, and I want to thank our team for doing such a wonderful job there. And look at who's here tonight. I mean, this tonight isn't part of that formal consultation process, but the number of reps from stakeholder groups, but particularly from design-led and architecture-led organisations, I think is just really interesting. We don't normally see that sort of dynamic in here. And I want to thank everyone who's participated in what is obviously a document that's going to excite Melburnians far outside this room as well, as we think as a city about how we can make that river as accessible as possible, those riparian zones and the access in many different innovative ways to make the most out of what is an absolute gem in our city. So it's a delightful and wonderful read. I really love this document and I'm delighted to support it. And I want to thank everyone who's been involved. There are people here as well who aren't even on the speaking list who I know are champions for the public realm and putting nature back into our cities. And thank you everyone for being here. Yes, let's get on with implementing this remarkable strategy.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion? Councillor Watts. Lord Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Watts. Well, I'm speaking in favour of this motion tonight as well. Well done to the team, the amount of effort and thoughtfulness. But of course, that also reflects the consultation, noting the comments from Tony Penner, and terrific that more people want to be involved. And I'm sure, Tony, we're not likely to forget you in the next round of consultations, which is good. But the fact that throughout the process there have been so many people involved, and so thanks to the team, but also thanks to those who have presented this evening. I mean, the possibilities that we can keep building on for this really important spine of the city, and with historic current day and future potential is really impressive. So appreciate the time that you've taken. I think something, somebody said it might have been you, Tony, you said this is, river is finally getting the attention that it deserves. And I think that's something that was reflected in much of the feedback we've received previously tonight and throughout discussions internally. Absolutely, we've turned our back on this river for far too long, and it should be something that is absolutely central to the city. And I note that in terms of the paper that supported this motion this evening, that the team pulled out four of our nine goals to say that we're actually meeting four of those goals through this strategy. A city that cares for environment, a connected city, a city planning for growth, and a city with an Aboriginal focus. I would say actually that it meets just about every single goal, and that is because of its vitality and its central nature to what we want to achieve as this city goes forward. So I would include a prosperous city, and I refer to some of the presentations about the tourism and economic, and I know Tim feels this as well, you know, the economic centre that is represented along this river. I note that it's a city for people, because so much of what's in this strategy is about how we engage and bring people back to the river, to have that connection to the river, noting comments about accessibility, but how do we make sure this is a place for everyone, and as a city for people, that connection to water and nature, as well as references to its past, both commercial past and Indigenous past, as well as how we make sure that we're setting this city well up for spaces that actually benefit people, particularly as we grow, is really important. I think creativity is absolutely at the centre of what we're doing, and we'll see that in lots of spaces, and I know that our creative strategy will absolutely be embraced as this continues to unfold, I hope, after support tonight. And I would support that this is part of our goal about being a knowledge city, because there'll be lots of R&D involved in how we maximise this area. And I think, again, the presentations this evening show that we need to keep demonstrating the local IP, drawing on international IP, and using this river as absolutely central to an attraction and the R&D elements of us as a knowledge city. So for all of those reasons and so many more, I'm happy to support this motion this evening.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Watts.
So perhaps I'm the last to speak. I don't know. I commend the officers. This is an excellent piece of work. It reflects to an extent and has moved with information that's been provided to you, and I acknowledge that. I would agree with some of the speakers also that more is to be done, but my colleagues tell me that this is a work that will in fact inform further design and work. One element of all of this which hasn't been raised strongly enough, I think, is the role the City of Melbourne has to play for this to succeed, and that's advocating to the numerous and often problematic stakeholders. I'm aware of them, and it's mentioned in our report that Melbourne Water is doing work at the moment about the Yarra. The reality is we can't do this on our own. The reality is we'll need the funding and the expertise and the legal authority in order to make a really good fist of this project. And that's what we, as a capital city, should be able to do. We should have the clout to be able to do that and press on. A concern I have with some of this report is that we talk very often of the South Bank and the North Bank. I prefer to see it as one entity. This is the major public realm asset in our city. It is our river. It is our estuary. It is the Victoria Harbour. It isn't... our cause is not being helped by looking at it in a fragmented way, which the fragmentation has resulted in the rather imperfect treatment it has at the moment. But this is a terrific document, and I'm really pleased, and I like to think of it as a green line, but essentially a blue line, because some might see the Yarra as muddy. I do not. We have to understand the asset we have there. So many cities, comparable cities all over the world, do use their river as a cultural, social, economic asset, and we're about to do that, aren't we? I commend the officers again, and I commend those who came to speak with us today, and, of course, the many, many submitters. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Pinder.
And I commend you, Councillor Watts, because you've been banging on about this for 6 years now, 6 or 7 years, and I think there's some green light at the end of this tunnel. While it is a great report and far-reaching, and as Margie said earlier, high-level strategy, and I support it fully, I am concerned with the changing of the guard, with councillors and management staff, that some of this might get lost, and if we are really, if our intent is truly for it to be a river for all people, then accessibility has to be high on that list, and that lens has to be very, very strong in respect of getting our kids in wheelchairs and getting our elderly on walkers and our vision impaired on canes, really catering for them. That is just so important because they are crying out for it. I note that in the community feedback, I don't see anything specific or related to these groups, and that worries me. And I just hope that as it evolves, because it is an evolving strategy, we will have sufficient inroads to gain support, and we will advocate as well to state government to really help with enabling us to see this greater vision. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Chair. I think you covered it all in your summary. Everything that you've said, I've agreed with. I think this is just so inspirational. I went to the workshop with the Yarra River Business Association, and I was absolutely staggered, the love that was pouring out of the people as they were writing on whiteboards, and it was all about the Yarra. And I thought, my goodness, you know, the passion that we have for this river, and we're finally getting it into a piece of paper that is going to be the strategy going forward. And one of the things that I've been, as what did you say, Councillor Pinder, banging on about, is Banana Alley and the Rebecca Walk. I would love to see that refurbished and turned into a better place for people, for all people. For the people that spoke tonight and that came forward with new ideas, thank you, because I love the lighting of the river. I love the way you see the river in your eyes. And let's hope that we can all work together to make this a place where we all will enjoy for the future. Thank you for the team for getting it to this stage. It's not over yet, so don't sit on your laurels. Keep working on it until we get it absolutely 100% right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Passionate words. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I agree. Well done to the team for some excellent work. And also to Tim from the Yarra River Business Association. I read your report. I think it's excellent. Wonderful to see that buy-in of all the businesses up and down the Yarra River, the Birrarung. And I think it's complemented by a lot of really good work as well from the state government in terms of their Yarra River strategy. And also the appointment of the Birrarung Council, and I think if Councillor Francis Gillie was here, he'd probably talk to the occasion of when the traditional owner groups actually spoke to that in Parliament was a momentous occasion. I think that providing a vision and capturing people under that vision is a really good thing. Probably my one, putting my Chair of Finance and Governance hat on here, and I think this was picked up by some of our submitters, it's the complexity of the number of agencies that deal with the Yarra River, the Birrarung. I had one business owner who came to me and they were looking at doing a float down the Yarra, and indeed they got in the river on one council side and got out of the river on another council side. They all had to deal with Parks Vic, Melbourne Water, and they almost threw their hands up in the air about trying to get what was a relatively simple event off the ground. So we really do need to continue to work on that complexity. And then the other part of this is I had the pleasure of visiting Chongqing Stream in South Korea, which is an unbelievable piece of urban renewal and really is a green spine that was once a freeway, an elevated freeway, and really draws the people of Seoul to it. But it cost $410 million in 2003 to deliver. And when you look at South Bank Boulevard at a cost of $47 million just for that project, and then we look at South Bank, where we've got to deliver about $80 million in drainage works, you start to see that this wonderful vision, really, in terms of the implementation, it needs a strong implementation strategy as well. So it's going to take private investment, it's going to take state government, it's certainly going to take local government, and it's going to take the businesses up and down the Yarra really to realise what is a wonderful vision. So with that caveat on the fact that this is a really big a budgetary consideration as we move to implementation, I think the vision is absolutely inspiring and fantastic. So well done to the team, and thanks to all of our submitters.
Thank you very much, Deputy Lord Mayor. Any other speakers? Councillor Leilu.
I'll be very brief as well. I think we're very lucky to have a city right on have the river across it, and I think it's you know, all the kudos to I guess the guardians in the previous councils for setting shop here. I think for me it's about taking advantage of the Yarra, because it's great to see so many business thinking about how to activate the Yarra and also getting up. So, for example, you know, there's a lot more the float, you know, which is, I would love. It's a great place to have a drink. But my favourite, and I, in terms of, you know, as a personal tour guide for many of the people who come here visit Melbourne, I always get them to go on the, you know, go boats that you can go down the Yarra River. If you said to me a couple of years ago, if I can, I'll be able to have a affordable option to actually go down the Yarra and actually be on it, I said, you know, you'd be dreaming because I can't afford a boat and everything. But, you know, for an hour or so, I can actually travel up and down the Yarra and be able to enjoy a picnic on it. So, and that's the entrepreneurial spirit and the innovation that we can actually unlock on this. And I think it's very, and also the key thing is, like, it's very affordable because we're able to do a lot of the things we can do, you know, compared to Sydney, where all the, you know, harbour side is just so expensive in terms of the real estate and everything. But ours is, you know, we, you know, being innovative, we can actually make it affordable and actually unlock the asset. So, you know, kudos to the team. We'd love to see, you know, I would love to see the Yarra turn blue, but, you know, that's never going to be the case because that's what they told me. There goes the policy. But, you know, it's how we can actually activate it. And it's not about the colour. It's, you know, it's about the connection to the city and also how we use it. It's the most important thing. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leilu. Any other speakers for or against this motion? All right, well, let me say in conclusion, how good is the Yarra River? How much energy and love is there for our river in this room tonight and across our city? Of course, the proof of any strategy is not just in the document itself, it's in the implementation. So, you know, let's get it done together. Let's get on with it. Let's make this amazing bit of policy become a reality. Let's make our Yarra River the best city river in the whole darn world. On that note, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, I'll declare that carried unanimously. Well done. All right. Now, somewhere in my papers here, I will be guided on calling on the Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, to resume the role of Chair for the remainder of the meeting. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt, and thanks to everyone who came along. Well done. Thank you. Oh, did I? Sorry. Councillor Rees, did I say that incorrectly? So sorry. I was looking at the wrong person and distracted by people movements. Thanks for coming. Wow, that was a big crowd for that motion. That was excellent. Good. Yeah, reflects the interest. All right, moving right along, Councillor Rees, thank you for handing the chair over. That concludes reports from management for consideration this evening, which means that we can move to general business. And there are two items of general business to be considered this evening. The first one is item 7.1, notice of motion, Councillor Leppett, raise New Start. I'm calling on Councillor Leppett to move the motion in respect to the matter.
Moved. Thank you, Lord.
I'm calling on Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you, to second the motion. Over to you, Councillor Leppett, to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, for seconding the motion. It's not every day that I'm going to put forward a motion to propose that we agree with John Howard and the Business Council of Australia and other renowned left-wing activists of that ilk, but this is how ridiculous this debate has become in this country. New Start, which is our chief payment to the unemployed and the underemployed, has not increased in real terms since 1994. That increase was $2.95 for singles in 1994, above inflation. The rate of increase is a national disgrace, in my view. Government is knowingly keeping people entrenched in poverty by keeping the rate where it is. And we have to acknowledge as well that inflation's one thing, but the cost of housing has outstripped inflation each and every year since 1994, and the proportion of income that is going towards housing by those who are unemployed and underemployed is at rates that aren't just housing stress, they're sometimes three times that, they're sometimes unbearable. And it's something that I am in politics for. Who are we planning this city for? Who are we planning our Yarra for? Who are we building these new buildings for? Now, in a vacuum, like any fast-growing city like Melbourne, you're going to have high land prices in the middle of the city growing exponentially the faster the city grows due to natural economic forces. But what we don't have in this city and this country is an economic critique of what impact that has on the separation of our people from our key jobs. Young people, underemployed people, unemployed people are moving ever further from the middle of the city. And I think that is a tremendous shame. We shouldn't be planning for enclaves of different economic classes. We need to be doing what we say in our council plan, and that is planning a city for absolutely everyone. So the easiest thing that can happen here, and I know that this isn't a council jurisdictional issue, but for all the reasons I've just listed, this is something that concerns us absolutely immediately, is for the federal government to alleviate poverty by lifting the rate well above inflation. The Business Council of Australia, the local government sector nationally and at the state level, and so many other bodies, unions and business bodies as well, have called for an immediate $75 increase and a review to where the rate should be after that, and have pointed to even comments from those like John Howard who have said, look, he froze, the rate was frozen at inflation in 1994 under Keating. It was deliberately kept frozen during the Howard years, but even John Howard is now saying, no, the freeze has gone on way too long and we're entrenching people in poverty. We know that that the government isn't currently looking at the best policy outcome. It's overwhelmingly a political stance when you consider that not only has the rate not increased above inflation since 1994, but the government's looking at increasing the liquid assets wait time out to 6 months to require that anyone who wants to be on New Start completely removes any and all savings they have before they start other payments. Now, that is only going to be a higher cost to the taxpayer in the long run, entrench people in poverty in the short term, and we all know the effects that poverty has on people's mental health, on people's ability to maintain a roof over their heads, and we are a very, very wealthy country, and I think that it is a national shame, and it's particularly problematic for those of us who whose communities are in the inner city, where land prices and the cost of housing is so extreme compared to other parts of the country, that we just have to tackle this head on. So this is another advocacy motion, but I'm asking for two things. One is that we continue this public debate and advocate to our Victorian representatives to implement a raise and new start. But secondly, given all the excellent work that we're doing on housing affordability at the moment, on our new tackling homelessness strategies here locally and through the Capital City Council of Lord Mayors, that we continue this pressure through those mechanisms as well. I commend the motion. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, to speak to the motion.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thanks, Councillor Leppett, for bringing this forward. I think the roads, rates and rubbish thing is something that I absolutely ascribe to. I think that we should really stick to the basics, but the health and wellbeing of our residents is absolutely one of the basics, and indeed local government has many roles in terms of the health and wellbeing of our residents and the people that use our city. And as Councillor Leppett has outlined, this intersects really closely with things like homelessness and affordable housing. So I feel very comfortable in supporting this motion, which is very well written and indeed cites a lot of the support from such a wide range of various associations, organisations, individuals, and certainly very, very strong support from the business community of Australia. I think New Start could be relabeled False Start because what it's supposed to do is allow people to remove that economic issue so that they can start to seek a job, and certainly we would want people to get into an employment. But when you take out rent or whatever housing payment that you're making, New Start is about $14 to $17 a day that people are living on. So if you're a young male and you buy a shaver, pretty much your daily allowance is expended on that one item. So what hope do you have to get yourself job ready to buy the clothes that you might need to get the education that you might need to get out there and get a job? So I'm very comfortable supporting this. I think the other thing, purely from an efficiency perspective, that this is an absolute false economy. On one side of a balance sheet, you appear to be saving money, but it's other levels of government which are picking up the full costs of individuals which are experiencing mental health issues, which are experiencing housing issues, which are experiencing all sorts of issues which arise from the fact that they don't have that security to be contributing members of our society. So I thank Councillor Leppett for all his work on this, and certainly thank the Local Government Association, all of the other MAV, all of the other associations that have gone in behind this and supported it. Very comfortable in calling for a rise on New Start, because I think it respects the dignity of individuals, but is also excellent for society as a whole.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. I believe there are going to be a number of speakers, so I will quickly do mine and we can look for more. I do believe this is a motion that impacts our residents and our community and the diversity of our community, and therefore our economy. I thought it's just worth noting that number of people on New Start who also seek assistance from homelessness services has grown by 75% over the past 5 years. So that connection between New Start and homelessness, one of the top priorities for the City of Melbourne and our community here, there's an absolute link there and something that we need to address. We know that preventative measures are absolutely critical in our efforts to prevent homelessness, and it's so much easier to keep people in housing than it is to help them out of a situation where they're experiencing homelessness and back into housing. And then, of course, the consequence of once you are out of housing, let alone under housing stress, is that it's even more difficult to find a job. So we find ourselves in a vicious circle in circumstances that are supposed to create a virtuous circle because of the underlying support that New Start is supposed to provide. I note in the motion the reference to the Council of Capital City Lord Mayors, where homelessness is one of the top priorities, again, in terms of federal government advocacy, and certainly this issue around New Start has come up, but something happy to take back in terms of advocacy efforts. I think that, as with so many things to do with this very complex issue of homelessness, that we do know that the status quo is absolutely not an option if we're expecting to see change, and certainly change for the better, because we're just failing too many people. And Newstart has a critical role to play in our response to preventing and helping people who are experiencing or at the lowest common denominator in terms of income in our country. So for those reasons, I'm happy to support this motion. And I'm looking to see if there are other speakers to this motion. Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think the argument is made sometimes that local government should stick to the knitting, concern itself with, as was mentioned earlier, rates rise and rubbish. I say that is indeed rubbish, because what we are to do is take our responsibility seriously as the level of government which is closest to the people. It would be remiss of us not to speak up, take this opportunity to speak up and really call out what's going on in our nation. Poverty is, as the Lord Mayor said, is vicious, especially when it's induced deliberately. It can't be tolerated. We can only do what we can do to change the minds of those in power. It's particularly difficult for me to imagine that those who've been elected to lead us are leading so many of us into desperate situations. They have a responsibility to citizens, and we certainly do too, and so I'm very pleased to support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Riley.
Thank you. I think you've said it beautifully, Councillor Watts. When I first looked at this motion, I thought, what has this got to do with local government? And as we say, roads, rubbish and rates, I always throw in recreation when we talk about that as well. But then when I looked at it again, I thought 2,300 of our ratepayers are the ones that are on this new start. I thought, no, this is about us. This is about the people of Melbourne, the ones that are seriously struggling, and the fact that it is our community. So I did change my mind, and thank you very much for putting it forward, Councillor Lippard. I think we need as much advocacy as we can to push this along. It's falling on deaf ears, as we well know, in the federal government. But if more and more of local councils start putting it forward, we do have a voice. And as we rightly said, we are the council and the people closest to the ones that really do need help.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Other speakers to the motion? Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I endorse this motion wholeheartedly. I concur completely with the speakers so far. The point I simply wish to make is to say how many more councils around Australia must vote in support of Newstart? How many more former prime ministers need to, including Conservative former prime ministers, say, hey, we need to do more here? How many more leaders, members of civil society, business community, the list goes on and on. I feel like, you know, do we need a skywriter to write it in the sky? Australia is saying we want something done here. This is what it is to be a civil and inclusive society. We should raise the new start allowance.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillor Lalou.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I thank Councillor Lippard for putting this up, because it's another one where to represent, I guess, you and I are probably the two youngest, councillors on this. And I think knowing that there was around about 2,300 young people on this, it's a figure I haven't really contemplated. I think over the weekend I've been reading a lot of the reports. I'm still iffy about it, because I think for me, we're painting a broad brush across different, because every different city, different state will have different various needs and everything. And I think for me, this is more of a federal issue, and it's also something that I think the data that has actually gone into all the things that has been calculated might not be detriment to, I guess, to our city. And so I would actually like to see a bit more, if we are serious about it, so I'd like to see more, a bit more, potentially, a bit more study in terms of just from a City of Melbourne perspective, because I think we cannot just kind of go City, you know, Melbourne is the same as Sydney to Brisbane to, you know, to all the way in Toorak or, you know, to Darabin. You know, it's a different, there are different data and different needs across the board. I don't want to, you know, vote against it because I think it's the issue is very core. And, you know, as someone who's young and pretty much going from, you know, corporate salary to pretty much on minimum pay at the moment, it is definitely hard. But I've always prided myself on I've never taken a dole or taken any government assistance because that work ethic has always been embedded on me. And I always feel that if the opportunity is there, you should always take it. So I most likely will be abstaining from the vote because I think I cannot vote on this one because I think for me it's a big, I don't want to support it, but at the same time I don't want to vote against it.
Thank you, Councillor Lulu. Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Pinder.
Look, I don't know how many councillors here tonight have immediate family who are on New Start. I do. I have two. You do? Councillor Riley does. I have two, a niece and a nephew, who suffer from serious mental health issues. They're on New Start, but they also work 20 to 30 hours a week. They get out there and they have got jobs. So I would like to look at this in a different way. If we've got 10% of our, and they're not ratepayers, Councillor Riley, because they are residents. If we've got 10% of our residents, not counting the 400 who are on youth allowance, if we've got 10% of our residents who are on New Start and are struggling, then I'd like to meet each and every one of them and flip this around and ask what is it that we can do for those residents, which is what, Councillor Lulu, you're on about. So I've picked up on what you've said, but I also come with four members of my family, really, two immediate and two my niece and nephew. So I've watched them and I know the patterns. I also know that strong family bonds are useful in this sort of situation. But my heart, and as chair of People's City Portfolio, I would be saying, well, to the officers, I'd love to try and get a handle on these 1,300 to 1,400 people who are obviously in desperate need of more help, and how is it that we can reshape or add value to their lives by guiding and directing them and helping them out. And we might only get a 10% of them might follow a path that's different or be able to get employment. But that's where I sit right now.
Thanks, Councillor Pinder. Any other speakers to the motion? Would the mover like to speak to the motion?
No.
Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's Councillor Louis, Councillor Watts, Councillor Riley, Councillor Capp, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Rees, Councillor Leppett. All those against, please raise your hands. No hands raised. And those abstaining would be Councillor Lulu and Councillor Pinder. Thank you, councillors. I declare the motion carried on the basis of a majority in favour. And that means we can move on to item 7.2. Notice of motion, Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood, improving Peel, William and Victoria Streets pedestrian safety. I'm calling on the Deputy Lord Mayor to move the motion.
Moved.
And I'm looking for a seconder. Councillor Pinder, over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So well and truly roads here. but with a big focus on improving pedestrian safety. Steve Pappas is here in the audience. I just want to acknowledge that this has been a long-term work of his in terms of advocating for this change on Peel Street. So this has been going since 2010. So it does show you how long change takes to happen. And what we want to make the point of here is that we have worked through the proper channels with Vic Roads in trying to get this change made without the need for a resolution. We haven't been able to get there, so that is why this resolution is here. Jala Pulford, our Roads Minister, has just in the last 24 hours talked about the fact that councils can make the case for the lowering of speed limits in their municipalities, but it needs to be data-driven and well backed up. This is well backed up by the transport strategy. In fact, it's very much in line with the transport strategy, but I also took the work to work with Victoria Police in getting them to reflect on the proposed changes. And initially it included Victoria Street as well. The crash statistics at the moment don't actually support a change on Victoria Street, so I'm very keen to just get Peel Street up and running, given it has taken so long and the traders have been waiting so long for this. So the 40 kilometre hour speed limit on Peel Street from Victoria Street to the Dudley Street roundabout, and then on William Street between Dudley Street and La Trobe Street, has the full support of Victoria Police, and this is many parts of Victoria Police in looking at that. And then Yarra Trams are supportive of investigations into whether or not a hook turn on Victoria Street and signalling changes can actually improve tram efficiency as well. The reason I haven't called on a request to actually just move on that hook turn was because the Victoria Police want to see the potential sort of pros and cons and the ability to actually implement a hook turn. So I'm very pleased after all the work of Steve and the traders along Peel Street to get to this stage. Obviously, it just instructs our CEO to write to Vic Roads, but it's out there, it's on the table, has the full support of Victoria Police, has the absolute weight behind it of our transport strategy, has the support of Yarra Tram. So I would hope that Vic Roads, now with the Victorian Roads Minister also calling for some of these advocations from local governments, that we would see a much long-awaited move. And thanks, Steve, for his absolute patience in this matter.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Pinder.
Only to say, Lord Mayor, that this is a terrific motion, and thanks, Steve. I think you've been waiting since 2010, so it's been a long time coming, as Deputy Lord Mayor says, and it's one that's needed. Good one for the traders.
Thanks, Councillor Pinder. Are there any other speakers to this motion, councillors? Councillor Liu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And you know, one of the things it always absolutely bugs me is going from 80 to 70 to 60, then to 40, and then back up and everything. So, you know, it's having about that consistency. And I think the Deputy Lord Mayor, you know, when he briefed us on it, was mostly that, you know, it's consistent across the different site. I would be quite keen to see how we're going to communicate this to the wider public. I would really hate it to, you know, somebody who's used to driving in that area, you know, knowing that it was 60 kilometres before and then getting booked, you know, for going over the 20 kilometres, because that's going to be a big thing just for people. So just more the communication, how do we actually get to it. I always think it's you know, if this is backed up by data and everything, I think this is going to be great. Knowing that in the city we can never get over 20 kilometres anyway, most of the places. I'm sorry, you know, it's for me that 40 kilometres in the following streets, I think is quite good. So look, you know, I just wanted to support this, and I just wanted to make sure that we, the community, get an understanding of the reduction, and to ensure that nobody get caught in this.
Thanks, Councillor Liu. Any other speakers to the motion? Then I look to the Deputy Lord Mayor to respond.
Yeah, I would just close on that. I think Councillor Lee Lu makes an important point. Just to note that with any speed change on any road, there's a very quite long process to go through in terms of re-gazetting the speed limit. So, and this is a very congested area of our city. Indeed, it abuts the Victoria Market, which is one of our highest visited sites in the city. You've got a tram stop, you've got a pedestrian crossing, you've got a roundabout, you've got traders. So everything is happening in this space. And I think the critical thing that it is that this has got strong data behind it in terms of reducing to 40 kilometres an hour. After 5 years of implementing the 40 kilometre hour zone in the central city, pedestrian collisions reduced by 36.5%. So that's over 170 people that have avoided serious injury and all that comes with that. So this is firmly about pedestrian safety, and very happy to stand behind that, but acknowledge Councillor Lu's point that these things have to be brought in a objective and well-publicised way so that we're not about catching people out.
Excellent. Well, with the end of the debate on that matter, we're going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? It's unanimous, so I can declare that motion carried. Well, this concludes the items of general business for consideration this evening. It's been a great meeting. It's the time to ask councillors whether there's any urgent business. There isn't. It is also the time for me to say, is there anybody that would like to ask a question? Anybody from the public? And Chris, please come to the podium and ask a question.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, councillors, men and women of the Kulin Nation. First question relates to the agenda item in regards to Yarra River, Boorong. Would it be possible, going from the high view into the more detailed micromanagement of the Yarra River, to focus on the importance of sunlight, of the health of the ecosystem of the Yarra River? Would it be also possible to be cognizant also of the importance of the rowing community with the Yarra River, the great uses of the Yarra River, and also to ingrain throughout the overview, it was tremendous that we had the Aboriginal perspective acknowledged. That was phenomenal. And if we could emphasise the importance of Aboriginal sort of customs, like building canoes out of trees and different scales of canoes for children and for older people as well. That would be phenomenal. So if you could look at that, that would be awesome.
Thank you so much. Margie's actually gone, but I've taken those notes. I'm sure we've got them on record. And what we'll do, Chris, is we'll send them through to the team so that they are aware of your questions slash statements slash requests.
Thank you for that.
Well done.
And the second question, earlier this week I sent an email to councillors in regards to the Chilean community in Melbourne and what they're experiencing and the support that they're sending and the love and admiration they're sending to the citizens in Santiago and in Chile as well. My question is it possible for the Lord Mayor to acknowledge that she is cognizant and sympathetic on the feelings of the Chilean community and what their fellow Chileans are experiencing in regards to the protests that are going on and in regards to some of the repression that they're experiencing and the importance, too, of having peaceful and respectful protests in a democratic community?
Chris, absolutely happy to say that we are a city that supports democracy and the rights that come with democracy. In terms of a broader statement, I'll need to just take that on notice, confer, and then if we can, we'll do it at our next meeting. We'll do it properly.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Chris. To our other Chris, who's been here for the entire meeting, who didn't speak earlier, but I know has a question. And Chris, what's your last name?
My last name's Leonards.
Oh, Chris Leonards, of course. You were going to speak earlier. Good.
I was going to speak earlier, but it wasn't necessary. But I just wanted to find out how long it would take for this project on the Yarra to take to be in effect, from start to finish. Any ideas on that?
It's going to take a long time. It's a high-level strategy vision. There's now that it's been endorsed, there's a lot of work to go into the detail. As the Deputy Lord Mayor pointed out, it's got to be funded. We've got to make sure we continue our consultation. We've got a whole lot of agencies to liaise with, and that's often the case with our strategies and visions for what we want to see happen in the city. What we can do now is start to work towards some implementation plans on various aspects of it. And I'm looking at Emma, who leads that team in terms of what comes next. I don't know if you want to add anything while I'm saying all of this. But Chris, the point about timing is really important. And in many ways, these projects, as somebody said earlier, they're the trees we plant that... What's the saying, Councillor Woods? Was you.
Planting a tree whose shade you may not enjoy.
Yes, planting a tree whose shade you may not enjoy, but we're hoping that we all do get to enjoy it. Our CEO would like to say something, but firstly, Councillor Watts wanted to say something.
What I have to say is small things are happening. For example, the graffiti is being dealt with to some extent, I'm sure, and the broken this and that. Small things are happening and concept plans are being drawn, and I'm as impatient as you are, be assured.
Look, I've only been notified about this in very recent time, only last week, and it's my preparation for tonight was very limited. I'm located down in Banana Alley, where quite a few people there were very negative about the car parking. I mean, look, it affects all the tenancies down there. You have a function with Channel 9 or whoever, and you have your back doors covered there with cars, and you can't move. And the cobblestone down there I've seen many people fall over, and with the whole progression of this, I mean, I see it as a great move, and you know, we are behind in Melbourne. We're having a great river there, and you know, I'd like to have some input into how it turns out.
And Chris, I think that's noted. And Chris, of course, I know we have met, and I know most of us here would have been to your nightclub at some point and enjoyed the music and a lot of the innovation you bring to our music scene. So thank you for that. So your comments are noted, Emma? Yeah, good. And I think I think what you're saying as well, there might be some low-hanging fruit, which is what Councillor Watts was referring to, and some things we might be able to do more immediately as we look towards that broader vision into the future. But the fact that it's been endorsed this evening with a lot of passion and a sense of getting on with it, gives us all confidence that we'll start making some moves. The CEO no longer wants to say anything. Councillor Watts covered all his points. And Chris, thank you for attending this evening.
Thank you.
I'm still going. So, councillors and members of the public and management, thank you so much for attending this evening. We are declaring the meeting closed at 7:42. Thanks.